Well, in this COVID-19 lockdown period, many people are worried about what's going to happen at the end of the lockdown. Will they still have jobs and so on? Some are not getting paid right now. They've been told by their employers, we can't pay you for now. So what are people's rights in terms of the UIF has got some 40 billion rands available to assist people during this very difficult time? Well, to tell us more, I'm joined on the line now by Sandile July. He's a director and labor law specialist at Works Attorneys. Thanks very much for joining us, Sandile. So just tell us about the employer-employee contract. We know that it makes certain assumptions, but of course, in this very unusual situation, employees have been forced to stop working through no fault of their own, with businesses not running also through no fault of their own. So what are the rights and obligations by both parties under these circumstances?
Under these circumstances, the rights and obligations of the two parties have been suspended. That is the legal position.
Yes. So in the suspension of the contract, it means that the employer is not obligated to pay his or her employee because they're not in a position to render services. So while that's the legal position, what ideally should employers do if indeed they're in a position to do something morally?
Yes. If the employers are in a position to pay, even if it's not the full amount, They would then ask the employees to come to the party, in the sense that the employees would take leave if they do have the leave, or they would be given leave even if they don't have what we call negative leave. And then they will be paid whatever they have been paid, if it's not full amount. Then the employers, there's a fund that has been set aside. You know that there's what they call temporary employer-employee-ish relief scheme.
Yes.
That scheme is designed for employees in distress. And what the government, as I understand, did, took money from the UIF and put that money in that scheme. And if you qualify, any employer, big or small, if you are not in a position to pay your employees full salary, you then apply to that fund. Of course, that fund is going to maximum that they can pay for an employee.
Yes. So why is there an insistence that it's the employer that must go to the UIF on behalf of the employee? Why can't the employee just go directly and say, look, this is my situation?
No, you remember, even when it's being deducted, it's the employer who pays to SARS.
Yes.
On behalf of an employee, and both parties, they do pay, but it's only the employer who deducts, and the employer is the one who pays. And it is only the employer who can prove that how many employees do you have, and only the employer can prove in terms of salary slips how much is been able to pay the employees.
All right. And then just in terms of what an employee can expect to get from the UIF, what sort of percentage is it of their salary, and for how long can they be supported, and can it be beyond the lockdown period?
I think the minimum is 3,500. It can't be it can exceed 17,000 rands, 17,500 rands. That is now to cover, for instance, those employees, because every employee in South Africa pays UIF.
Right.
So even those employees who are in the executive level, who the employer may not be in a position to pay them in full, you will have to claim for those employees. Hence, the maximum is 17,000.
So as the relationship between employee and employer is suspended, what special arrangements can one come up with, even if you're not getting paid? Can you sort of promise, you know, that if things pick up post the lockdown, we'll re-employ you and work on that basis? Because that contract still exists, doesn't it? It's not like you fired the person.
Definitely does exist. Of course, it's going to depend from employer to employer. As I understand the application, when you make an application to that temporary employer's relief scheme, you must also submit a plan. Part of the requirements is that you submit a plan that no employee is going to lose his or her job.
Yes.
You come up with a plan that much as you are asking for relief now, but you have a plan that has been designed that no employee is going to lose his or her job. So in other words, it's not a relief which says pay them for now, I might dismiss them later. No, no, no. Your plan must be submitted and be accepted by the people who would look at whether as an employer you qualify for the relief.
Do you think, given the circumstances that we're under and the fact that some people have sort of fallen through the cracks, like, for example, self-employed people who are not in a position to work and so on, do you think that there's space in the future for the laws to change around these situations to basically take into consideration situations like this? Because some people may not be able to eat because of circumstances beyond their control.
Those, unfortunately, don't fall under the employee definition. There will be the so-called FMLEs. And as I understand, there's a special regime or arrangement for FMLEs. So if you are self-employed, you are therefore your own boss.
Yes.
You are FMLE.
Yeah.
And,
no.
And you don't qualify as an employee. Whether that requires the changing, I think it's going to be very difficult to put those people under. I'm not saying it's not possible. It might be difficult to expand the definition to include self-employed.
Do you anticipate a lot of legal, litigation post the lockdown because of what's happened? Because obviously some people won't have interrogated their contracts to understand that indeed the relationship will have been suspended because of this situation.
I don't expect too much dispute about the actual suspension, because one, the employer would have told the employee that I'm not going to pay you because I don't have money. Or I'll pay you this much because this is how much you can afford.
Yes.
What I expect then is going to happen is that there might be a need, unfortunately, that an employer may want to reduce the cost of operation. And we know that whenever an employer is reducing the cost of its operation, it's about the number of employees.
Yes.
And that is where the dispute, I think, is going to be. Whether there's a justification for retrenching people, because the mere fact that you did not make money, it does not on its own equal to you have a reason to retrench.
Yes.
Yes, it could be that it's an indication, but there has to be a number of considerations whether indeed you have to retrench. Because it could be that you're not making money, because you are not making profit, but you can still run your operation. So, but there will be disputes. But I don't think disputes will be about whether I was entitled to salary or not. I think employees by now, they are aware of that situation.
Sandile, this is a little bit of a short left. It's not what we were necessarily going to discuss, but I have heard about some companies looking to pay less in their workers' pension funds because times are difficult because of the situation. What does the law say around those type of issues?
You see, like I was saying, you are lucky if the employer would pay at all. Because remember, I said the suspension means obligations are suspended.
Yes.
No salary, because pension fund is always paid linked to the salary.
Yes.
The employer pays part and the employee pays part. And in the event where there is no salary at all, it would mean no contribution to the pension fund. What I would therefore expect is that the pension fund will come up with a regime wherein they will allow people to not pay during this time.
Yes.
Until the employer is in a position to pay the salary. I don't think it should be a question of now that you can't pay and therefore you must get out of the pension. I don't think so. I think pension funds also must come to the party. and understand that the situation is what it is. Yeah.
Sandile, thank you very much for your time and your insights. That was Sandile July. He's a director and labor law specialist at Worksmen's Attorneys.